You know, this is for all of you out there. You didn't take Powder Down right away. Everybody out there wanted to hear more of this song. They want to hear it every time. I love this song. And it's so apropos. We need to put a list of our music that we use out on the website, because we get a lot of calls saying, what was the one, Shane, that that we do from HBO?
I Need a Dollar.
Is that I Need a Dollar? No. Is that? That's not it.
Yeah, I Need a Dollar.
Is it I Need a Dollar? Is that what it is? Yeah. We find some cool stuff that floats around out there. But this, welcome back to the Wall Street Shuffle, by the way, 877-326-3255. This was in honor of our next guest. We just try to move things around a little bit. Mugambo Guru is on with us. Retired though he may be, he has not lost his investment acumen, nor his interest in educating our fine, fine audience. How are you, Mugambo?
Fine. How are you doing, Dan?
Life couldn't be any better. Well, gold could be at 5,000. Did you see today that the folks at CNBC and Fast Money, which now concerns me, they're calling for gold to reach $5,000 an ounce in the short term, based strictly upon not demand, but the lack of supply?
Very interesting.
That's what I said. I mean, you don't normally think about this, but here's their view. I thought I'd throw this out and get your opinion on this. It says that right now China holds less than 1% of its reserves, 1.8% of its reserves in gold. And if the country were to bring this proportion in line with the global average of 11%, that means it would have to buy 6,000 more tons, equivalent to more than 2 years of worldwide gold production. Now, that's an interesting analysis, not normal for CNBC, so that's why I thought I'd quote it to you, because it's talking about supply versus demand, and they say that you can only expect over the next 5 years global production to increase about 3.6% based upon the 345 active gold and 30 copper mines that are out there.
My question to them is, where have they been for the last 5 or 10 years? For crying out loud. This is an old, old story. I'm surprised that they're getting around to saying it, actually. It's not the news itself, but the fact that they're finally recognizing it.
I think that's right. And all I can figure is they've run out of things to talk about, because if they're actually coming out and saying that, the gold could be 5,000 an ounce, well, you know, the fact they're saying it now makes me concerned, because...
It should light little light bulbs in your head as your greed gland squirt some greed juice in your blood. Get out there and get some more now. I mean, golly, what do you want?
I've never considered my greed gland. I can't even say it. Excreting greed juice. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, what do you know that I don't know about gold right now, Mugambo? Tell me some reasons that at this 1500 and 1520 level, a lot of people are scared, because we've seen the market kind of react, but gold didn't react, and they're saying, wait a minute, the market went up, gold should be going up more than it did. What do you say to those people? But you tell me not to watch the markets day to day, right?
Oh, that's exactly the nut of the whole thing. You don't worry about this stuff. The fact that gold is going up is guaranteed. And I have heard people whining about, oh, it's not going up anymore. It's reached the top at 450. Oh, it's reached the top at 600. Oh, it can't possibly get to 900. Oh, it'll never go to 1,000. Oh, and now that it's broken 1,000, it'll quickly go back below. It can't possibly go to 1,200. I mean, I've heard it all the way up.
You bet. And I love the people that say, well, I remember 1980. I was invested in gold. No, you weren't. You weren't. You were not that guy that bought it at 850 and wrote it down to 220. You know you weren't. Stop that. I think people like to be self-effacing when it proves their point that this is just another 10 or 11 year sham rally in gold at 35% a year increases.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to believe there would be anybody arguing against gold at this point. After this, it's a decade long run. It's up sevenfold almost.
Oh yeah.
When you talk, look at the mining shares. You add all that in. Gosh, anybody that bought gold and gold related instruments made out like bandits.
Yep.
If some stock had done that, some municipal bond had done that, man, we would still be hearing on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come back and say it again, because we're facing very difficult financial times. We don't know where the finances of the world are going to go. It's not likely that the finances of the world are all going to improve at the same time and take off like a rocket. It's probably more likely that things will contract at some either a slow rate or a rapid rate. But regardless, the one thing that kept people from losing money in the crash of 08 was if they owned gold or silver.
Exactly right. It'll do the same thing for them if they buy it for the next crash, and the crash after that, and the crash after that. All this crap has got to go to nothing. All fiat currencies go to nothing. So when you say you don't know how the future of the world's going to be, I do. I do. It's going to be a mess with all currencies basically worth nothing, and gold worth astronomical sums.
Well, and then everybody, and I say everybody because this is the common wisdom on the street. This is what people write about, George Soros, because George Soros sold some gold, all of a sudden that we're supposed to get rid of our gold.
Yes, George Soros has made some smart moves, and he's a pretty smart fellow, but he's not infallible, as is Warren Buffett. I mean, Warren Buffett's lost lots of money for the last 10 years. So I don't see where either of those guys can actually say, oh, I know everything about the market, now's the time to sell gold, because the people that held on to their gold made out, and those two guys really didn't. George Soros hadn't made any money. Nobody's made any money.
Yep.
Except the people that own gold and silver.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll kick George Soros' butt for him, and yeah, he tells me that I'm wrong. Well, let's see just who made the money, George.
Well, George is
funny where your mouth is.
Yeah, and you know it's funny how George Soros and Jim Rogers, both partners many years ago, have diverged in the way that they manage their money right now, and they are significantly different. And talk about talking your own book. Wow, Soros telling the whole world I'm into gold, and as he's getting out, and then as he's getting out, he's getting back in, he's telling people, oh no, I'm done with gold.
George Soros has a political agenda, too, and he wants to remake the world to be a nicer, one more wonderful place. So there's all kinds of things going on with George Soros.
What do you think about India? We had our good friends on from Dylan Gage last week, and they had just returned from the Far East, and they said that India, the absolute one of the biggest consumers of gold anywhere in the world all the time, especially during the wedding season, is turning to silver. Well, and I know silver is still your number one on your hit parade. I know that.
Right.
So what do you think about India all of a sudden saying, well, silver's as good as gold because I can't afford gold anymore?
Yeah, well, you know, you got to get what you can get. And I think they also recognize that silver has the most potential for gain, too. It's not that they're trying to store value. They're trying to make some money, too. And so that would be to go with silver like Mugambo says to do.
That's exactly right. You know, I love people also that say, well, why doesn't the U.S. just sell its gold supply and balance its budget? I ask because I know you know how much the U.S. claims to have in gold. At the most that they claim to have in gold in ounces, I believe, is about 11,000 ounces. I think that's the right number. Is it?
No, it's 620 million, and it adds up to less than $500 billion.
That's exactly right.
$500 billion wouldn't satisfy the U.S. government for 4 months.
That's the number I want to get to. The maximum amount of gold that the U.S. claims to have in its vaults, in Fort Knox, everywhere, is $500 billion, and we farted away $700 billion just on bridges and railways to nowhere.
One bailout.
Yeah, and now we're saying, hey, let's go back to the gold standard. Really? Well, that's special. Just how much will gold be if you took the amount of dollars in circulation
right.
and matched it against gold? Just how much do you think each ounce of gold would cost?
Well, it varies depending on your definition of the money supply you're trying to make convertible into gold. And it varies between about $12,500 an ounce and about $25,000 an ounce.
Yep.
Would get us basically on the barest of gold standards. But I think that's all academic because I'm one of those conspiracy theorists that says, hey, there's no gold. The Federal Reserve doesn't actually have any gold. They basically leased that out and sold it long ago. But it's only an accounting trick that they allowed themselves to do to count as still owned gold that they have leased out. So, yeah, I think all the gold has been leased out, and it's been sold, and it's gone forever. So when the government says they got 620 million ounces, I'll say, let me see it.
Well, and that's the key word is leased. If even the government, as sleazy as they are, if you have sold something, they'd probably find an accounting trick to say that they still had it. But the key is I've leased my gold, therefore I still own it. It's not in my possession, but contractually I still own it. Well, if you've leased it to somebody, whoever you leased it to did something with it to make money on it. They didn't turn around and release it.
Right, Dad.
They went out and sold it, and they're expecting to replace it with cheaper gold. So if you have a continuous daisy string or daisy chain of leases in gold, which is exactly what you have, which is what the world is concerned about, because if people start demanding delivery of their gold, they can't get it. You start demanding delivery of your silver, you can't get it. And when we start talking about how – and I know Danny all the time corrects me about the futures market, how well-regulated it is and how it is capable of withstanding any run. No, it's not. There is no market in the world that is capable if people said, give me the gold that I am promised of delivering that gold.
Oh, not even close to being possible. There's so many derivatives on gold and silver that it's impossible to fill even a tenth of all those contracts. So, yeah, there's a gigantic default ahead. And, yes, the futures and options markets are well regulated in the favor of the guys who are the insiders there. They can do almost anything they want.
That's exactly right.
Danny, yeah, they have, and they made a lot of money.
Let me bring Danny in.
Well, with the futures market, they mark to market every day, so they bring your account current every day. So you don't, and the counterparty risk is with the clearinghouse itself, not some the other party you don't know about.
And so the clearinghouse itself has unlimited guarantors able to deliver the gold to everybody?
I don't think there's any such thing as unlimited guarantors.
That's our point. There are relative degrees of safety, and I agree with you. The futures market is relatively safe. But if you had everybody demand delivery at one time on those contracts that are out there, it couldn't be done.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I agree
with that. It's taken me 2 years to get that out of you.
But everything has risk. My physical gold, I got to protect it and arm myself to the teeth or do something else or have insurance costs.
I just wanted people to admit that this is the important part, that no matter how difficult gold bullion is to protect or insure or do whatever, the fact that people say there are markets and certain markets, like the futures market, are completely secure. They are not.
Oh, no, not at all. I just think they're more secure than just about any other market on the planet.
Other than the physical gold.
Other than the physical gold, yes.
I'm good.
Well, that's not a financial. The physical gold isn't a financial market.
Go ahead, Magamba.
Well, the market is basically, yes, you might not get your silver or gold, but you'll get your money. They'll pay you off in cash, but as far as delivering silver or gold to you, no, that's an impossibility.
Absolutely correct, Amundo, my good friend.
Yeah.
Are you dug in deep in your bunker, and are you enjoying your retirement?
I haven't seen the sunshine in weeks, but I'm so scared out of my mind, Dan. This is getting weirder and weirder and weirder every day.
No better person to be our Sherpa guide through the coming weirdness than you, my friend.
It's good to have you on the team, Dan.
All right. God bless, Magamba. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Take care, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Dylan Gage will be coming up with us here in just a second. Phil Storer, who is their director of commodity trading. We're going to be talking about two different values that the U.S. trades in, currency versus commodities. Don't go anywhere.